Welcome back to Library Voices SC. I'm Pamela, and I'm going to keep it short and sweet today, but without Katie, who's not here with us today. I do have a fabulous co-host today, and I'm just going to hand it right over to him, Dr. Curtis Rogers.
Thank you. I'm the coordinator of the South Carolina Center for the Book, which is an affiliate of the Library of Congress Center for the Book in Washington, D.C., and we have the wonderful opportunity of having South Carolina authors, folks who write about South Carolina, write about the South, here for a series we call Speaker at the Center.
Which we love.
Yes, and we've had other folks from Speaker at the Center talk on the podcast before. But today we have an author whose name is Tom Poland, and he's the author of 12 books and more than 1,000 magazine features.
Wow.
And he's a Southern writer, and his work has appeared in magazines throughout the South. And we really like him, even though he grew up in Georgia.
We'll claim him.
Which we'll go ahead and claim him. And he had four wonderful English teachers who gave him a love for language. People first came to know Tom's work in South Carolina Wildlife Magazine.
Absolutely.
Which I think anybody in South Carolina has heard of or knows South Carolina Wildlife. And he wrote a lot of features, and he served as the managing editor. So, welcome, Tom.
Glad to be here. I think this is my third or fourth time here.
I think it is, and we've always had a great crowd when you come. Tom has some followers who, you know, follow him around to different places.
Well, I know when we were looking at the books that are upstairs in the Learning Lab, where we're going to be listening to you talk later today, that I actually have several of the books at home. So it's
really,
it was a fun way to go, oh, Tom's going to be here.
Yeah,
this is great.
It's like I already know him.
I'm that guy. That's right.
You're that guy.
But anyway, Tom's most recent book is Georgialina, A Southland as We Knew It. And one of the things that I find so interesting about this is the title. What's the story behind the title?
There is an interesting story about that title, and it involves my mother. My mother was a Georgian all her life, and she had a little bit of a dislike for South Carolina for whatever reason. And so every time I did a new book on South Carolina, she was proud of me, but she was galled a bit. She's like saying, you're a Georgian, you need to get over here and write a book about Georgia. I said, well, Mom, you know I live in Columbia, it's 100 miles from here, and I do the best I can. So what happened was about 8 years ago, the hometown paper asked my sister to ask me a favor. Would I write a column for them every week for free? I said, sure, I'll do it for my mother, if nobody else. And so I started writing for the hometown paper, the Lincoln Journal, and immediately a lot of the stories and recollections of her life growing up in the Depression, growing up in rural Georgia, came to mind. And after sort of a sketchy start, I hit my groove and I started writing a lot about the old days and old ways and traditions of the South. The column was called Across the Savannah, because I would also include things that I was writing here in South Carolina. So I went back and forth between Georgia and South Carolina for all my subject matter, and then one day I realized I had something like, at the time, I think it was 386 columns.
Wow.
That are like 1,200 words on average. They're not short pieces. And I said, ought to be a book in here. I talked to Jonathan Hawk at USC Press and told him I was going to let UGA Press look at it. He says, well, let us look at it first. We have a great relationship with you, and you've been with us for a long time. I said, sure. So that's how the book came to be. And the title, Georgialina, covers two states' stories that are between the covers.
You mentioned USC Press. You've got some other books from USC
right.
Press.
Robert Clark, the wonderful photographer that I met at South Carolina Wildlife in 1982, we struck a friendship up and went out one day collaborating on our own and did a story on tenant homes that caught the eyes of an acquisitions editor by the name of Warren Schlesinger. He called me up and said, you boys are going to do a book for the USC Press. And along with Steve Bennett, who was a coworker of ours, a colleague, we did South Carolina, the Natural Heritage, which James Dickey wrote the foreword for. And that's kind of how we got running with the book thing, Robert Clark and I did.
I was glancing over Georgialina and came across something that I found I just had to ask this question of you, because in the front of the book, and all of you listeners who, you know, hear this and you're going to want to buy this book online or go to a bookstore and buy it. But there's a great picture right in the front of the book of rocking chairs on the front porch, and it refers to lightning bugs. And then I noticed that our wonderful colleague, Aida Rogers, who, you know, wrote a sentence or two about the book, she refers to fireflies flickering. And so I'm wondering, is there, you know, I always thought it was not lightning bugs, but lightning bugs in the South. Is there a big difference? In
I think lightning bug is what your country boy would call them, and fireflies might be what someone with a little bit more sophistication would call them. I like both. I like both. You know, we always talked about lightning bug time down home. Mm-hmm. That was when it was dusk and you knew that you didn't have much time left to play outdoors, and that was a nostalgic memory that I had fond recollections of.
It's a signal for our family. Even mm-hmm. now, I have a young child, and it's a signal for her, oh, time to come in.
Yeah.
Got to get washed up.
I don't know that kids today even try to catch lightning bugs or fireflies.
Mine does. Do they good? The tradition continues.
I'm glad to hear that. Because the book is a lot of it's about things that we don't do anymore.
Mm.
I think Aida also referred to it once as a book about things that happened pre-batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Before
yeah.
batteries
yeah.
came along.
Exactly.
We used to make our own toys out of bamboo and wood and so forth. The much maligned, dreaded slingshot, for example, was one of the things we'd make.
One of the things flipping through the book, there's some really great photography, and you're a really good photographer. So what maybe is one of your favorite images from the book?
I like the old farmhouse on 378, where we talk about, I think, can't remember exactly the chapter title now, but it's at the intersection of Highway 25 and 378, where you can go either to Greenwood or Edgefield. Mm-hmm. And I found out through one of my connections with a reader that emails me now and then that the Self family of Self Memorial Hospital in Greenwood, mm-hmm. that was actually a farm of theirs. And it's a magnificent old farm that's crumbling. All the outbuildings are falling down, and it's sort of a symbol to me of the agrarian lifestyle we used to have in this mm-hmm. part of the world that we don't have like we used to, because, you know, farming is more corporate now and small farms are disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Both of my grandfathers were farmers. They did a little farming with cotton and cattle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in my blood a little bit.
Mm-hmm. What would you say maybe was your most favorite piece in the book, and maybe what was, I don't know, maybe your most difficult piece of the book?
Well, my favorite piece in the book is the summer of 1967, which makes me sound as old as Methuselah. That's the year I graduated from high school, and it was really a transitional year in my life because I was getting ready to go off to college, and no one in my family on either side had ever been to college. So I was into uncharted waters, and I had no idea what to expect, and my first year was pretty rough. But it's also the year that a good friend of mine I played football with on the local high school team got killed in Vietnam. And a lot of things started changing that summer. They called it the Summer of Love. The Beatles came out with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It was a very interesting time in my life, and I wrote a story called The Summer of 1967. That was probably the most personal piece in there for me. Mm-hmm. Most difficult piece was consolidating and getting the tremendous family feud from Edgefield, the Logue Timmerman feud, into a story called How a Mule Kick Killed 8 People, which is a true story.
That really makes you want to read it. You know,
absolutely.
Just the title.
Yes. I put that on Like the Dew in Atlanta, which is a journal of online journal of culture and politics, mostly politics these days. And I didn't think a lot about it. I uploaded it, which you can do easily if you're one of their accepted writers. And about 3 days later, I got an email from the editor, Lee Leslie. He says, congratulations. He says, your piece just became our all-time most read piece ever.
Wow.
24,000 people read it in 3 days' time.
Wow.
It got on Facebook and went viral, and then I started hearing from the descendants of both of these families, the Logues and the Timmermans, saying, yep, that's pretty much what happened, but we're friends now. We all go to the same church.
That sounds very Southern.
And it's a true story, and Strom Thurmond's involved in it, in Edgefield.
Wow.
Oh, we're tempting our listeners now.
That's right. That's right. A lot of history. But we're not going to tempt them much further because
no.
They're going to all want to go online, go to Amazon, go wherever, go to your local bookstore, get a copy of Georgia Lina, A Southland As We Knew It by Tom Poland. And we're very happy to have you here. So thank you very much for being
very
with us
glad
today.
Glad to be here. Thank you both.
Thank you, Tom. Curtis, thank you so much. As always, we're keeping it short and sweet.